Welcome, everyone. What a complete delight it is to see your shining faces and to be together for our first open source online long retreat. It's really a beautiful thing, and to feel us coming together from, you know, the all over the Western U.S. And, you know, as we're sitting, I'm just really aware of the different landscapes that we're in. The mountains and the snowstorm that's coming, you know, in Colorado, and the Sonoran Desert of Arizona, and the beautiful high desert of northern New Mexico. You know, I can feel it. It's just in my bones, having sat all of those places. And then, of course, the, you know, beautiful early green spring here in Northern California, where the lilacs are just starting to blossom. And I want to say just a special word of thanks to our gracious and hardworking leaders for this retreat. It's such a treat to be able to work with you all, and you bring so much in your leadership practice. It's really beautiful. So thanks to Kelly and Mary, Piper and Debbie, Jen and Martha. Thank you for your work on all of our behalf. It's much appreciated. And thank you, of course, as well to my dear open source teacher companions of the way, Sarah and Andrew and Tenny. You know, it's just such a privilege to be able to walk the way together. I'm really enjoying what we're doing. So thank you all. Entering a retreat is sort of like entering its own landscape. And there's the internal landscape, you know, the places that we explore in our practice. And they always seem to mingle with the external landscapes, you know, that I was just referring to, that we're all bringing, you know, the places where we sit. And it's really an invitation in retreat to find the full range of the land that we're in, to see the, you know, the beautiful moments of a leaf shimmering or a bud opening or a snowflake falling, but also to join with the invitation of the poem that is the theme of our retreat, to explore the time that is before anyone can remember and the landscape that is eternal for us. And, you know, as I really was digging into this poem, I got really interested in its author, Musso Soseki. And I want to actually share with you all some images from him. So let me do this. Can y'all see that? Yeah, okay. So the author of our poem is Musso Soseki, and he lived in Japan from 1275 to 1351. And this was actually a turning point in Japanese political life and culture and history overall. And also in the history of Zen. It was just a few generations before that Zen had arrived in Japan from China. And a few, about 100 years had passed by the time of Musso Soseki's time. And it was a time when Zen was making the transformation from being, you know, a sort of foreign Chinese practice to something that was becoming indigenous to Japan. And in becoming a truly sort of Japanese practice, it really started an era of the flourishing of Zen in Japan, not just in monasteries and practice communities, but in the arts, in brush painting, in calligraphy, in poetry, in literary arts. And Musō Sōseki was a key figure in all of these. It was also a time of a lot of political upheaval in Japan. They were kind of moving between forms of government, and there was a lot of changes in leadership and upheaval and tumult. And Musō was also actually in the middle of that as well. In addition to being a Zen teacher, he was a diplomat. And he was in charge of Japan's trading relationships with China. So just a bit about Musō's life. He began practicing Zen at age 24, and he practiced with two well-known masters, one Chinese and Japanese of his time. And then he began a number of years of solitary practice in the mountains, as they did at that time. One day, they say that he was coming back from a visit with one of his teachers, and he stopped at night to practice near a hut, and he practiced outside. And as he moved to come inside in the dark, he leaned where he thought a wall would be, but there was no wall, and he just fell. And at that moment, everything fell open for him, and he achieved his great awakening. And I'd like to share his poem. The custom at the time was to write an awakening poem. So he said, "For years I dug in the earth, searching for the blue sky, burdening myself with obstacle after obstacle. Then one dark night, I kicked a piece of tile. And unthinking, smashed the bones of emptiness." Shortly after that, he was authorized as a Dharma heir and teacher. And he was well connected, so he became a teacher of the regents and shoguns of the time. And he sort of served these two functions for quite a while. He was both a diplomat and the Dharma teacher to the reigning powers. He became appointed to be the abbot of a series of Zen monasteries. And in these positions, in addition to teaching the Dharma and running the monastery, he also wrote poetry, and he designed the gardens of the monasteries that he worked at. And these gardens are in some form still in place in the area around Kyoto. And the pictures that we're seeing are Musō Sōseki's garden designs in the temples of Kyoto. He was really one of the founding masters of Japanese landscape design. And his landscapes show both the ephemeral moments of a garden and also the timeless qualities. And of course, there are always seasons happening. So there are these sort of different levels of time and timelessness and change that we can really find both in his poetry and in his landscapes. He also did a bunch of Zen dialogues with students and other teachers, and those dialogues were collected and published even at the time, and they're still in publication today. So he was quite an accomplished, amazing person. They say that he had over 13,000 disciples by the time of his death. And yet he never lost that feeling of intimacy, that feeling of just being able to meet the moment and cherish, you know, the power of the small as well as the largeness of the vastness. So this is, you know, part of the invitation for the retreat is to let it be both particular in your particular landscape as that rises and falls in the moment. It will be changing constantly. You'll have times that feel wonderful and times where you may enter a hell realm. So you can follow your own contours of the land. But also don't let it be too small. Don't let it only be small and personal. See if you can let it get really big. You're bigger than you can possibly imagine. And maybe you can start to explore that. I'd like to read a few more of Musō Sōseki's poems. The Milky Way pours waterfalls over this human world. The cold, rushing, tumbling sounds echo through the blue sky. Veneration to the great, compassionate Avalokiteshvara. How lucky I am to have no trouble hearing. This next poem is called Buddha's Satori. For 6 years, sitting alone, still as a snake in a stalk of bamboo, with no family but the ice on the snow mountain. Last night, seeing the empty sky fly into pieces, he shook the morning star awake and kept it in his eyes. This is another translation of Sōseki's Satori poem. I read you another version a few minutes ago, but I like this translation too. Year after year, I dug in the earth, looking for the blue of heaven, only to feel a pile of dirt choking me. Until once, in the dead of night, I tripped on a broken brick and kicked it into the air. and saw that without a thought, I had smashed the bones of the empty sky. And I'm just going to read for us again the poem that is the inspiration for our retreat. The title is Old Creek. Since before anyone remembers, it has been clear, shining like silver. Though the moonlight penetrates it and the wind ruffles it, no trace of either remains. Today, I would not dare to expound the secret of the stream bed. But I can tell you that the blue dragon is coiled there. So as we settle in tonight, see what you can drop. See what you can set aside for now. See what you can simplify. Let's all just take a deep breath. And a long exhale, just letting it all go. Softening those places that you might be just kind of clenched up. Let yourself be soft. Let your home become a temple. Maybe it will become a place of miraculous awakening. Let the walls of your home expand. Let yourself expand. Smash the bones of emptiness. Notice what's ephemeral, what changes. And notice what changes more slowly. And maybe you can find that place, that landscape. The tree that's older than the forest that it stands in. I'll meet you there. Thank you all. Why don't we take a walk?